He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. A couple days away from Christmas. How are we doing?
I'm good. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, my friend. Are you and your wife doing anything special? You staying local? What are you doing?
We are staying local.
Good.
Gotta stay in the beautiful valley, of course.
I love that. I think that's great. Yeah, and also you're not going to get stuck in all the crazy weather and the travel woes and all that good stuff. So that's
exactly
good.
Exactly.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, last week I thought we had honestly one of our best conversations in a while. Not that our conversations aren't always great. I think you're one of our best guests we have on each and every week, and I'm so grateful to you for being on for as long as you have. But you got a lot of my listeners talking last week, all good things about you, not so great things about antivirals, but and antibiotics, really. It's interesting. This morning, they released from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the White House, they are making Tamiflu available to states from the national stockpile.
Yes.
So what I find interesting about that is why Tamiflu and not others? But then I also find it interesting because, so you alerted me to something, Dr. Brown. You do that quite often, actually. You alerted me to the fact that pediatricians are under an immense amount of pressure from parents, really, more than anybody, but families who are like, hey, I just need an answer. You just got to give me something. I can't handle watching my kids be sick for another 4 months. Like, this is crazy. So they almost appease parents. And so you got me thinking, and I'm like, you know what, let me get somebody who's in charge of pediatrics. Let me confirm. They confirmed it. They're like, yeah, we're basically trying to appease parents. We've got an influx of patients. We're trying to manage the demand. And you've got people screaming at us on the phone saying, just do something. And we know it's not going to hurt the kids. We're not talking amoxicillin. We're talking like Tylenol, ibuprofen. It's not going to hurt them, but it's also going to get you off our backs, essentially. So there's this.
Well, I'm glad they confirmed it.
They did. They did confirm it.
Making up stuff.
No, you're not. I had a chair of pediatrics come on from Hartford Healthcare because I thought, okay, I don't want to just have Dr. Brown, you know, have to answer from like the infectious disease. I do want to hear from the pediatrics, and they confirmed. They're right. Like, listen, we're seeing way too many patients, and we're getting screamed at. Essentially, we've
they
got,
are.
You know,
they really are.
They do. They've got families who are like, you know, you're a doctor. You're supposed to fix this. And they're like, all right, give them Tylenol. You know, give them Tylenol and God bless you. You know, like they're sort of under the gun. So with that being said, I'm very surprised that the White House is like, hey, if you need Tamiflu, let us know and we'll release it from the national stockpile. I'm surprised we're not doing more to just educate families and be like, listen, stop screaming at your pediatricians. Do a little research and kind of ride the wave, unfortunately, like ride out the viruses.
Yeah, and that is a concern. And I'll tell you why it's a concern, because we just think that, you know, and again, I've been dealing with this my entire career, is that, you know, everything is sort of cured with a pill. And that's just not the case. And it just goes up to, and I think to your point, I mean, people need to be more educated on the fact that, you know, pills are not without consequences, especially pills like Tamiflu, or, you know, there's worse things than that. But these are medications. There's a reason why they are prescription. You know, that if they were safe enough, then they would just be out as an over-the-counter. But there's definitely concerns about their side effects. There's long-term effects, you know, inappropriate use. There's overdose associated with it. So again, I think you're right. There needs to be an education associated with that. And I think people just need to realize that, you know, things like Tamiflu. Tamiflu does work, you know, but it doesn't work for COVID. We know that for sure. It only works for flu. It does work for flu A and flu B, but it needs to be used in a very short period of time. So it's really most effective within the first 48 hours or sooner to really be used. So if there's anything after 48 hours, it's not really helpful.
Mm-hmm. So that's my kind of question to you, which is, you know, I understand that we're kind of dealing with a fall that we don't typically, well, and now we're into winter. This is not normal, right? So we always deal with the flu. RSV has been around, but I don't think we had as much, you know, emphasis on all of these viruses until this year, really, because we're seeing kids ridiculously sick after COVID. So we've got this storm going on right now.
Right. It's definitely, I mean, you go out and, you know, you hear adults who have a scratchy voice, and you hear kids coughing. It's something we haven't heard in 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. But are we setting a precedent, Dr. Brown? Now, of course, I hope to God we don't see another pandemic in a long time, maybe ever in our lifetime. But are we setting this precedent that we are now undermining doctors to the point that if we yell and scream and kick and complain, that we will just get what we want at the federal level? Like, to me, it's not like colds and flu and everything. It's not like that's changed. It has been what it has been for a very long time. And I guarantee my parents hated watching me go through it. I'm sure my parents' parents hated watching their kids go through it. But to see on a federal level that we're willing to pull from the stockpile just to be like, let me appease parents, what kind of precedent are we setting? Like, we're kind of saying, hey, we know more than the doctors. I don't know. Troubling.
My understanding is that even with the release of the stock, even the release of the Tamiflu, which I know there is a shortage, which we're not surprised because we're using too much of it, but we also are seeing a significant increase in this is the biggest flu we've seen in the last 10 years. I think there's a shortage that's there. My hope, and again, I can't say exactly sort of where this is, but my hope is that, and my understanding is that it still needs a physician prescription before it can be written. And I appeal to all my physicians, and they hear this from me all the time as we train new residents here at Griffin. We continue to tell them, make sure you're using a medication for the appropriate reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope would be is that we still have gatekeepers. The physicians should still be doing that. And I would say that parents need to be, it's going to be a virus season, flu, COVID, and all the other viruses are here. We just need to be able to think logically, like we did a couple years ago. Not every illness needs an antibiotic or an antiviral.
Mm-hmm. One is here, and we got a couple more minutes to talk about some other news stories that are health related. I saw, Dr. Brown, that one school district in New Jersey, not too far from us, has reinstituted its mask mandate for all the public schools because of the uptick in COVID cases. I know Governor Lamont has already said he's not really interested right now in putting a mask mandate back in place. He doesn't feel it's necessary. But I am curious what you think, especially with gatherings happening, especially this weekend, New Year's Eve. And what do you think? What do you recommend?
Well, it's interesting. I think from the first part of the Jersey school district, listen, I applaud them for doing it. I think you have to look at what's happening locally, and it's a public health measure. So what you're doing is you're trying to prevent the spread of a virus from the children, who could get really sick from it, and to the adults, the teachers, which in some way you're a little bit, you're clearly concerned about the children, but you're also concerned about the teachers. If all the teachers are out, who's going to teach the kids?
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these multifaceted things, and I've always been a proponent of making make those decisions local. If you're seeing an uptick in a certain area, then make that decision. It doesn't mean that the mandate's going to last forever. I mean, they know that they can do it for a period of time, and doing that period of time will reduce that total number, or at least spread it out so you don't lose all your staff.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Dr. Brown, because as you're talking, it's like, yeah, I think we're so warped by what happened during COVID. And I understand, look, that was really hard for a lot of people, and you and I have talked about it. Did it go too long? Maybe, probably. I think it became where it was a rule and people wanted to break the rule, whereas it was really meant to keep people safe when we really didn't have a lot of information about COVID, especially in the beginning. But like, I look at the airlines, the fact is yes, we've got this massive storm that's coming in, but airlines have already said they have to cancel flights because they've got a bunch of staff out for COVID. And I'm like, how did we not prep for this? Like the most busy time of year, how did we not prep for our staff? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you?
And that's the biggest, one of the biggest issues is having employees that are not, if we ever want to get our economy back, we need to have our workers back in, and if they keep getting sick, and I think the school system is just, I'm not political in this aspect, but it's just sort of like, this is a public health thing, not a violation of one's rights.
Mm-hmm.
People can argue with me, but again, from a healthcare standpoint, I'm saying, for a short period of time, it's the best thing for everybody. you know, and if this is the decision that they make, then just do it for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And it'll be, you know, and overall it'll be helpful to the, you know, to that community, and it'll keep them well.
Right. But, well, it is funny, Dr. Brown, because as I mentioned, Chase has been on and off really, really sick, and we've been working so hard on, you know, that boy doesn't leave a room without washing his hands or using hand sanitizer. I mean, it's pretty incredible, actually, for a four-year-old to ask where the hand sanitizer is. It's pretty extraordinary. But, you know, on days where I'm like, okay, no fever, but he just can't stop sneezing, or, you know, the germs are going everywhere, I say to him, I go, you know, I say to my husband, I'm like, ask Chase if he's willing to wear a mask in school. You know, he's in preschool, and no, he doesn't want to wear a mask. And I'm like, well, then he's not going to school. Like, you know, I think you have to make those decisions. Like, if you're not going to protect other kids around them, you know, then don't have your kid go to school. Like, I hate to say that, because, you know, we have learning loss, and I certainly want the socialization for my son, but I don't need him getting everybody sick or the teacher sick. That's not fair.
Exactly. And you know what? And it is definitely the season to be thinking around that, right? It should be, we should be thinking about other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think that's one way that we want to do that. We don't want to, we might want to give him a gift, but we don't want to give him the gift of the flu.
Yeah, right? That's literally the worst. No, you make a good point. You make a good point. Dr. Brown is here. I know we've already run out of time, but I think I already previewed this. Dr. Brown, are you nervous about Mpox? I did see that there were two deaths that happened in Texas in November and this month. Both cases, according to doctors, had other severe underlying health conditions.
Right.
But of course, people are nervous because at one point we were low on the vaccinations for Mpox. And so I think that was just a concern for some people if you're worried about those two recent deaths and if it's forecasting anything.
So I would say at this point, no. I would say no. To say that it's not, you know, again, I think we always need to be careful about it, but we are hyper alert on infectious diseases. We do know that, you know, rare things or uncommon things like Mpox, which was uncommon and then became a little bit more common, now is uncommon again, it does occur. And we do know that if, you know, in these cases, these were very sick individuals, I believe both men, very sick individuals, one of which was immunocompromised, you know, that leads you to a lot of susceptibility. And you just need to, when you're immunocompromised, you need to be careful. You know, and if you're concerned about getting, and just to answer your other question, I'll tie it in. If you're concerned about getting COVID or you're concerned about getting the flu, one of the best ways to prevent that is wearing a mask or social distancing. You know, keeping, you know, if you do go to a party and you choose not to wear a mask, but you're still concerned about getting sick, then 6 feet away and maybe not a hug and kiss.
Yeah, stop with the hugging and the kissing and the handshaking. It's true. Yeah. It's funny because, man, we made the elbow tap so popular in 2020.
Right.
And that, I don't see that ever. It's almost, I have to say, I've been in positions where it's uncomfortable. Like, I was at a launch party last night, actually. And the amount of people who just come up and don't even shake hands, they're just like, hi, with the arms open. And I'm like, oh, man. The good Lord, please be with me. Like, Jesus, take the wheel, because I don't know what to do. You know, it's back in full force, but you know, go back to some of those tendencies. If you're not cool with the mask, you're right.
Even before COVID, I had a mentor who said, you know, she went almost 2 years without getting any type of cold because she social distanced, she washed her hands, and she stayed 6 feet away.
I love that.
Didn't make her popular, but
whatever. Who needs popularity past fifth grade, right? You know, like once the superlatives are out in high school, who cares if we're popular anymore? Good Lord, that's so true. Well, Dr. Brown, I do hope you have a safe and healthy Christmas. I expect to talk to you next week, right? Or are we done for the year?
No, yes. I will be here.
Whew. Okay, cool. Me too. I'm working too. So that's how that works. News and health. It doesn't stop just because of the holiday. So
absolutely.
There you
go. Absolutely.
Well, Merry Christmas, Dr.
Merry
Brown.
Christmas.
I'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Fred Brown here on WICC.